punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Man, we got a lot on the agenda today, so let's all get started here. Current temperature is 87 degrees. The Nathan Brewer dew point is 54. The winds are out of the south-southwest at 17 miles an hour, gusting up to 21 miles an hour, and it's going to blow today. It's going to blow tomorrow, and so we'll just do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up in my last segment this hour, so hang tight. As always, the KECO Ag text line is open at 580-225-9697. I'm getting lots of responses from you guys this week, so keep it up. Don't be bashful. If you got something on your mind, you want to ask a question, or you just want to say hi, send it my way, and I'll do my best to answer it during the show. But a couple things before we get started with some hot ag news. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today. Coming up, we got some major October deadlines that are approaching, and they're not very far off. The Coronavirus Food Assistance Program deadline is October 12th. The Pandemic Livestock Enemy Program is October 12th, and the Pandemic Assistant for Timber Harvesters and Haulers Program is October 15th. That's all next week. So if you hadn't applied for any of these or called in about it, get with it. This comes from the Oklahoma Farm Service Agency out of Stillwater. So it's for statewide. So get after it if you haven't applied yet. Also, soybean and grain futures rose overnight. But right now, our current cash prices in Oklahoma are for soybeans at $11.74. Hard red winter wheat is $6.96. Milo is $5.15. And corn is $5.45. So that's your current cash prices right now. Soybean and grain futures were higher in overnight trading on signs of strong demand for U.S. supplies. Exporters reported sales of 261,264 metric tons of U.S. soybeans to Mexico for delivery in 21 and 22. That started on September 1st, the Department of Agriculture said in its report yesterday. Mexico also purchased 314,256 metric tons of corn for delivery in the current marketing year. On Tuesday, the USDA said that Mexico purchased 426,800 metric tons of U.S. corn. Prices also might be rising as investors prepare for Tuesday's World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates, with that report coming from the USDA next Tuesday. Analysts polled by Rutgers expected the government to estimate domestic corn production at 14.973 billion bushels. That would be down from the September forecast for 14.996 billion bushels. Soybean output likely will be seen at 4.41 billion bushels, up from the previous months of 4.374 billion bushels. On the weather front, some showers are expecting in the eastern Midwest for the next couple of days and in the central and southwestern Corn Belt Monday and Tuesday. That may lead to some harvest delays. About 34% of the U.S. soybeans were collected at the start of the week, up from 26% average from this time last year. Some 29% of the corn crop was harvested as of Sunday, ahead of the 22% average the USDA reported. Soybean futures for November delivery were up 11 cents to $12.58 a bushel. Overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, soy meal rose to $1.20 to $320.50 a short ton, while soy oil gained 0.52 cents to $62.58 a pound. Corn futures for delivery added 3 cents to $5.37 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery rose 4.25 cents to $7.54.5 a bushel, while Kansas City futures added 5.25 to $7.46.5 a bushel. Export sales of corn and wheat rose week to week, while bean sales declined, according to the USDA. Corn sales to overseas buyers for delivery in the 21-22 marketing year that started on September 1st rose to 1.27 million metric tons from 370,400 metric tons a week earlier. That's pretty good. That's almost quadruple, not quite, but anyway, three times as much. Mexico was the big buyer at 801,400 metric tons. Colombia purchased 192,500 tons. The Honduras took 96,800 tons. And Canada bought 94,600 tons. And Guatemala was in there for 60,000 tons. The total would have been higher, but an unnamed country canceled cargoes of 149,500 metric tons, FDA reported. Exports for the week total 974,600 tons. Wheat sales in the 7 days that ended on September 30th totaled 333,200 metric tons, a 15% increase from the previous week. The USDA said, still, that's down 19% from the prior four-week average. Mexico purchased 89,100 metric tons. South Korea was in for 2,700 tons. The Philippines took 69,300 tons. And Nigeria bought 72,000 tons from the U.S. supplies. A unknown country nixed shipments of 42,200 tons. Brazil canceled cargoes of 19,500 tons. And the Dominican Republic canceled orders of 16,700 tons. Exports of U.S. wheat for the week totaled 543,300 tons, up 47% from the previous week. Go Wheat Commission. Get that stuff out of here. Get it sold, especially at this price. Soybean sales last week totaled 1.04 million metric tons, down from 1.09 million a week earlier. China bought 671,300 tons. Indonesia bought 128,400 tons. Germany took 86,300 tons, and Taiwan was in there for 84,000 tons. Spain also bought 72,400 tons, and one unnamed country canceled one of its shipments for 246,000 metric tons. Exports for the week were reported at 940,200 metric tons, and according to the USDA. Well, the fire watch has been issued for most of Kansas, the Texas Panhandle, and all western Oklahoma, including the Oklahoma Panhandle, of course. It was issued for parts that I just mentioned because of extremely dry conditions, according to the National Weather Service. Winds in the area will be sustained from 20 to 25 miles an hour, with gusts up to 40 miles an hour. Relative humidity will drop as low as 14%. Any fires that start will have extreme fire behavior and spread rapidly, according to the National Weather Service. Outdoor burning is not advised. So what that means to some of my listeners out there, even though you've been needing to put that corner post in for 5 years, don't go out there today with a cutting torch and a welder and get after it. Just be cool till this extreme weather gets dry weather gets through the next 3 days, and then we can get back to normal. So don't be cautious and be smart out there. Keep everybody safe. Firefighters don't need to be out there fighting these fires today. In the northeastern parts of eastern Iowa and northern Illinois, Meanwhile, isolated thunderstorms are possible heading into the weekend. Severe weather is not expected in these storms through Monday, but come next week, it's going to be a whole different ballgame. While it's still too early to determine the exact severe weather risk, a few strong thunderstorms will be certainly possible the first part of next week. Well, when I get back, we're going to talk about some cattle, maybe some hay, and some about some of my guests coming next week. I got a full boat next week. So you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. On Facebook, follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I am here. It's Friday. Oh, by the way, if you're not doing nothing tomorrow and you don't want to sit at home to watch the Texas OU Red Rivalry shootout over at the Sayre Golf Course, they're going to have Southbound is cooking us some pizzas in the morning. So if you guys want to come over and have some free pizza and have your favorite beverage and watch the game, you're more than welcome to come over there. It's got we got some nice TVs in there. So I'm just throwing that out there. If you want to come over and watch the game, be a great time. And some great people will be hanging out in there. The fourth annual convention and trade show of the Oklahoma Independent Stock Growers Association is coming up. It's coming up November 13th. It's almost about a five weeks away, somewhere in there. And the speakers include Margaret Byfield. She's got there. Steve Stratford, Representative Justin Humphrey, and Roger Gibbons, Livestock Risk Protection, will be there. It's November 13th of this year from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the Frisco Center at Clinton. Registration is $75, and that includes the meals. For more information, write this down. Call Joshua at 580-303-0233 5803039. So anyway, I'll repeat that number one more time. Joshua 580-302-3039. And that's for the fourth annual convention and trade show for the Oklahoma Independent Stock Growers Association. And that will be in Clinton, Oklahoma. Also, next week, next Saturday, week from tomorrow, don't remember to go. I almost said the word forget. My wife's been jumping on me. So if you remember, if you don't remember, whatever. Anyway, remember to go over to the Stockman's Vet Clinic next Saturday, the 16th, from 11 to 2, meet Dr. Taylor Mouse. She just opened this up a few months back. Everything's cooking right along for her. Come meet her and her staff and check out the facilities they've reworked. And plus, there'll be free lunch from 11 to 2. Go meet her. She's a great person, and I think she's a good gal. So anyway, go check that out. Well, the U.S. beef exports topped $1 billion in value for the first time in a single month during August. This is a late report, but it just came out, but I wanted to share it with you. At the same time, U.S. pork exports posted another strong month in August, remaining ahead of the record pace established last year. According to data released by the USDA and compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation, August beef value climbed 55% to $1.04 billion, due largely to record shipments to China and the largest exports of the year to Japan. Beef export volume was up 21% from a year ago and the second largest of 2021. Year-to-date, beef exports increased 18% from last year to 955,407 metric tons, with value up to 34% to $6.62 billion. Export was also 6% higher in volume and up 20% in value compared to the record pace established in 2018. Pork exports rose 4% in August to 225,822 metric tons, and value increased 20% to $633.9 million. Record exports to Mexico and strong growth in several other markets helped offset the expected slowdown in muscle cut exports to China. Year-to-date exports were 1.5% above 2020 at just over 2 million metric tons, while value climbed 10% to $5.62 billion. Pork exports are on a record pace to Mexico, Central America, and the Dominican Republic. And chilled pork exports to Japan and South Korea are above last year. While China's demand for pork muscle cuts is trending lower, variety meat exports to China continue to expand. The August export results would be impressive under any circumstances, but achieving those totals despite all the COVID-related obstacles at home and overseas is truly remarkable. Our transportation and labor situation is challenging, and customers continue to face an uncertain business climate due to food service restrictions and other economic headwinds. Yet international buyers remain committed to the quality and consistency delivered by U.S. red meat, and the U.S. industry has gone to tremendous lengths to keep these shipments moving right along. Well, speaking of the beef exports and the whole works, you know, for quite a while now, we've had a lot going on with the producers, the feedlots, and the packers. So yesterday they got into some more, or this week they've got into some more stuff up in Washington. And I came in here and highlighted some interesting conversations that they were having there. So bear with me on this. It's one of those deals. I don't think this thing's ever going to end. I don't think anything's going to come to end. They keep talking about it. This is the fourth major meeting they've had about the Packers making money and the producers making money. And it's just, You know, we don't, this is my personal opinion. We don't need any more government oversight. Our government agencies, especially at our county level, they're already overwhelmed. I mean, they're still dealing with this stuff from the COVID packages. It's just, I read at the first of the show, they got deadlines coming up, and we just don't need any more government oversight, but we do need to fix it somehow or another. Cattle markets need reform. Serious reform, according to Senator Grassley, from a Republican from Iowa. Consensus for such reforms would entail, however, were missing from Thursday's House Agriculture Committee hearing to review the state of the livestock industry. In the fourth hearing this year, Ag Committee Chairman David Scott, who's a Democrat out of Georgia, said the witnesses provided diverse perspectives and that many members of the committee are motivated to craft policies that will support the well-being of livestock producers. Two of the themes that were focused on yesterday at that hearing were the need to improve price discovery and how essential it is for us to look more closely at how we can incentivize competition and capacity at our processing sector. Scott said he added the committee wants to move forward towards a reauthorization of the livestock mandatory reporting. Processing capacity, especially for the beef industry, was cited by the most of the witnesses as a critical need. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack noted USDA announced a $1 million loan guarantee program earlier this week to help smaller processors expand capacity. He said the department also received 240 applications for a program to help small processors upgrade their facilities with grants up to $200,000. Are you listening, Ray Shones? I said that for you. And anyway, in his lead testimony, Senator Grassley touted the bill he and co-sponsor Senator John Tester, a Democrat from Montana, introduced last year as a reform the industry needs. This bill is often referred to as the 50-14 bill, as it would mandate packers to purchase a minimum of 50% of their weekly needs in the cash market with delivery within 14 days. Remember, I just got through saying that the 50-14 bill would mandate packers purchase a minimum of 50% of their weekly needs in the cash market. Well, South Dakota rancher and NCBA vice president, NCBA for most of you guys that know it, but for who you guys that don't, it's the National Cattlemen Beef Association. Tom Wilkerson, however, urged lawmakers to avoid one-size-fits-all policy prescriptions and the importance of considering nuisance policies that properly address transparency, processing capacity, price discovery, and oversight in the cattle markets. As producers struggle to get by, large meat packers have realized record-breaking windfall profits. These profits have been not shared equally with cattle producers, Wilkerson said, because the challenges facing our industry are so diverse. In an imperative that policymakers at all levels of the government remain focused on viable and tenable solutions with vast industry buy-in. Wilkerson said policy prescriptions may have disastrous unintended consequences. Instead, he urged a multi-pronged approach to bring relief to cattle producers, transparency to the market, and be resilience to the beef supply chain market. Well, this is a part of my story I'm going to have for it. But I'm going to say this guy's name once. It's French. And then from now on, when I say his name, it's just going to be Monsieur. All right? Anyway, Francois Lagarde, owner and CEO of FPL Food, on behalf of the North American Meat Institute, offered his perspective on the market as a beef packer and processor. The cattle and beef industry are driven by the supply and demand fundamentals of the free market, and the cattle industry is So Michu said, not that long ago, the cattle market was the reverse of today. In 2013 and 2014 and 2015, the herd was small and producers were making record profits while packers were losing money. During the pandemic, while the packing capacity operational reduced and the cattle herd was large, cattle prices dropped. FPL worked with Georgia Cattlemen's Association to help support the cattle industry. We need cattle producers, and cattle producers need packers. And that's true all the way. We need both of them. And we just got to figure out how everybody's going to get their piece of the pie. Michu told the committee that the production in meat packing and processing plants is tied to the number of employees working on the line, and the pandemic has only just exacerbated labor shortages. Currently, we see on average 20% daily absentee in our plant, he said. I come to work every day, and the first decision I face is which line to run and how to staff it. He said his company's salary costs alone have increased by $7 million a year. He's got less people, but he's having to pay him more to come to work. He also concluded his remarks with a warning. USDA has announced plans to propose new Packer and Stockyard Act rules to regulate the interactions between packers and producers, and bills have been introduced in Congress that would place certain purchasing requirements on packers. Government intervention could jeopardize packers' ability to provide products customers and consumers desire. The industry needs to be customer-oriented. We must provide the products customers want. Yet, Dusty Johnson, Republican out of South Dakota, said there's no consensus on the 5014, referring to the proposed bills promising mandatory minimum negotiated cash trade for cattle. He quoted the new Texas A&M report released last week, and I've seen this report, and it was too long to read on the radio, but it's a good report, that estimated billions of dollars would be lost by producers if packers were forced to increase negotiated cash trade. National Cattlemen Beef Association Wilkerson, in answer to one lawmaker's question, emphasized his earlier testimony. Let us have a chance to solve this problem. Mandating this from Congress or USDA is clearly going to be problematic for cattle producers. And I'm going to give you a big amen from that. So that's what was happening in Washington yesterday. And just so you guys know what's coming up next week on the show, we got a busy week. Lacey will be on Tuesday because we got some severe, it looks like they keep updating, and it all depends on who you listen to. We got severe weather, maybe even tornadoes moving in Tuesday. So everybody get the water drained out of your cellar from all the rains we got all summer long. Get that ready. And then on Wednesday, Miss Jordan Cook from Cordell will be on. She is on the Oklahoma Beef Council, and I look forward to meeting her and talking with her. I hear she's the thing. She knows, she's very highly intelligent, and she knows her cattle. And knowing who her dad is, I'm sure she does. And then I'm going to have on Thursday, Addie Snayberger from Burns Flat will be on here, and we're going to be talking just things going on in the FFA, but she has been taking names with her in her FFA Creed contest that she's been going to all over Western Oklahoma. I think, unless I lost count somewhere on social media, she's 3-0 and been dominating that Creed contest. And she dominoes the stock show too with her animals. And we're going to be talking about her adventures in the stock show so far this year. And also next week on one of my shows, I'm going to be talking about the carbon market agreements. hang tight for those. I'm going to get some people on from OSU, K-State, and Texas Tech will be on here over the next 3 to 4 weeks talking carbon markets, because there is some money involved in these carbon markets. But before you jump out on one of those agreements, you need to listen to the show for the next 2 or 3 weeks, because there's more to it than meets the eyes. Well, you've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 1st. 1,490 head were sold. 21 head of steers at 446 brought 170.50. 6 at 508 brought 134. 15 at 604 brought 141.50. 16 at 635 brought 145. 5 at 642 brought 130. 8 at 676 brought 129. 17 head of heifers at 380 brought 147. 20 at 488 brought 135.50. 3 at 597 brought 130. 9 at 624 brought 130.50. 16 at 661 brought 127.75. 5 at 811 brought 125. Butcher cows were 25 to 76.50. Bred cows 175 to 14.10. Butcher bulls 40 to 90. Pairs brought 885 to 16.50. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a 2-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Yep. 89 degrees. Southwest winds. 17 miles an hour, gusting up to 21 right now. They got the heat index at 87. The high looks like it's going to be 96 degrees today. So get your suntan lotion out and get something over those ears. You don't want your ears burn up. I was reading my Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association magazine, and I come across something that was pretty interesting. TSCRA, Special Ranger, H.D. Britton. He's been at Ranger for 24 years. He had a tip, and he said, as much as his job has changed over time, one thing remains the same. His top piece of thief prevention advice is brand your cattle, he says. Without any hesitation, brand your cattle. It's like having a serial number on your television, because it's just a black cow that's missing. That black cow is more than likely gone unless it winds up with an honest person. So brand your cattle. That's his tip of the year, because he's only in this magazine once, I think. I've never seen him in there before. I've seen his picture in there. Anyway, so brand your cattle, people, because I get those daily emails from the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Association deal, and cattle theft and equipment theft are on the rise. So be prepared to keep an eye on your stuff. Get it all back home. Get stuff worn. You know, last month I reported on some high land that sold in Iowa. Well, guess what? It got topped. Farmland values are on a historical run after a record sale of $22,600 per acre in August. That's the one I reported on. Well, October came with a new record price as a piece of farmland in Johnson County, Iowa, brought a record $26,000 per acre. I wish some of those guys would come down here because I got 440 acres. I'll sell them at that price. However, one land appraiser expects a record amount of land to enter the market in the next 60 days, so prices should be lowering down just a little bit with so much land coming in there. Well, this $26,000 sale was the partial two in the auction and consisted of 76 acres. He said they described the sale as one with a huge crowd and aggressive bidding, with plenty of buyers bidding on the land. And another parcel, number one in the same sale, which also was close to 76 acres, it brought $21,000. While the record sale will turn heads, this guy says a farmland sale last week drew attention for different reasons. While these three parcels of land sold at the sale brought just over $14,000 per acre, it's how it was sold that was drawing interest. Well, this farm was one solid section that was offered for auction in Dickerson County, Iowa. And I've never seen one whole section of 640 acres get offered at an auction, and this farm did. It was broke up into four quarter sections, and it was offered as choice was privilege. Typically, when offered at privilege, if a buyer is interested in other parcels of the land of that sale, they can take whichever tract they want. Instead, he said, these investor buyer let the bidding process play out, taking all four of them with a savings of $32,000 in the end. Well, if you take, here, let me figure that out real quick. I forgot to do that. If you take 40 or 640 acres times $14,000 per acre, that's $8.960 million that section of land bought. And I'd give them a deal on my 440 down there west of Willow. They don't even have to, we won't even bicker on the price. But anyway, while the record sale turned heads, he said it was just crazy. But it's incredibly rare, he says. I was totally shocked that this section stayed together. If that farm was sold a year ago, I would estimate the price range would have been between $9,000 and $10,000. This year is $14,000. Those are not top prices here in Iowa, but those are very strong prices for the section to stay together is truly amazing. And there was a lot of competition on that from investors and farmers on that tract of land. So $9 million for a piece of land is pretty good. According to the USDA, real estate values are up 7% this year compared to 2021. Jackson Tock, farmer Mac Economist, said you adjust that for inflation, farmland returns are still on solid footing and viewed as a safe investment. He said the rates at which real estate values have increased from 2020 is a quicker pace in the Western Corn Belt compared with the East. States such as Nebraska and Kansas are seeing farmland values up more than 10%. I think they're 6% in Oklahoma. Iowa values increased 9.5%, while in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, we're seeing farmland values rise at a slower rate. And our buddies out there in Texas Panhandle, they are rising pretty close to 8% from what I understand. Well, when I get back, I got some more cattle to talk about. We got our Long Ranger to talk about. I have a full boat today. We're not going to get it all in. But anyway, I'm glad you guys are enjoying the show. This is month number 3. And we got, all kinds of text messages. Let people know the Sarah Clubhouse is a public place for everyone, not just golf course members. And there's a nice patio to sit on and enjoy watching and laughing at the golfers. Huh, interesting. She must be a non-golfer because I can tell by how she wrote that. It was a she. From the major on the text message, speaking of TSRA magazine, I will be in along with a story about Farmer Veteran Coalition. Oh, great. The major is going to have a story in that magazine. I can't wait for that to come out about he's just as big on veterans as I am. So I appreciate it. And he says, good discussion, Packer consolidation for the fact that NCBA also represents Packers is the reason for RCAF and Independent Stock Growers Association popped up. Be interested if the feds would instead focus on assisting the states and increasing their local packing options. And I think they're working on that. We got lots of, you know, from a year ago, we got some new processors around here. Here we go. This is going to get me on a roll here. I still got time. We have a processor in Shamrock. We got one in Sayre. We got two in Canute. We got one in Burns Flat. We got one upcoming to open, if it hasn't opened already, in Wheeler. We got one in Thomas. We got one in Weatherford. We got plenty of processors around here. We got plenty of beef to buy around here from locally and don't have to go to the grocery store in Oklahoma City. Always buy local from your grocers around here. And you don't have to deal with the drama at out east of town here if you don't want to, if you're COVID conscience. But anyway, buy local, save sales tax money, and your beef is better. If you don't believe me, I'll give you a list of people that buy my beef. We just processed four of them, and they are all happy campers. The beef is fresh. So anyway, that got me. Thanks, Major, for firing me up. I appreciate that. But anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Every trust is a little bit different. Some of them, those assets may need to grow because they've got to take care of somebody for a lot of years. Sometimes those assets need to maintain or they need to just support a certain lifestyle. There's lots of different objectives for trusts. And what we do is we determine what the objective is for each trust. And then we do our very best to manage the assets in that trust to achieve that objective. I'm Nan Shiblum, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust in Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of a curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, October 5th. We sold 513 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, October the 7th, we sold 3,580 kids and feeders for a total of 4,093 cows for the week. Better killing cows, steady to two higher. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 71 to 77. 10 cows bring 40 up to 62, with the bulls bringing 80 up to 92. 2 to 4 year old bred cows brought 1250 to 1425, with their 5 to 8 year old bred cows 750 to 1200. 9 and older bred cows 650 to 835. 2 to 4 year old pairs 1125 to 1425. On our feeder cattle, 2 to 6 higher on our feeders, 4 to 8 higher on our kids. 3 to 350 steers 192 to 213. 4 to 450, 162 to 173. 5 to 550, 158 to 166. 6 to 650, 140 and a half up to 161. Whether 7 to 750 steers, 154 to 158. 8 to 850, 153 to 158. And our 950 to 1,000 pound steers, 137 to 146. On our heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 165 to 176. 4 to 450, 150 to 159. 5 to 550, 149 to 151. 6 to 650, 132 to 146. 7 to 750, 126 and a half to 145 and a half. 8 to 850, 128 to 130. And our 900 to 970 weight heifers, 126 to 135. For this Tuesday, October the 12th, we will have 65 bred cows, 3 to 5 years old. They're red and black. We got 5 Simmental herd bulls off the same deal and 15 Simmental heavy bred cows. Plus, we have 80 bred cows off another deal, 3 to older, with a lot of those cows being 3 to 6 years old, black and red. Give us a call. Remember, feeders were 2 to 6 higher, kids 4 to 8 higher. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Last segment, we have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And get ready, sit down, get ready. We got this done. I got hay down, and I'm hoping to get it baled up for Sunday night because it looks like we got a really good chance of rain Sunday night in western Oklahoma. So right currently it's 91 degrees. Winds are southwest now, 15 miles an hour, gusting to 20 and up. High today is supposed to be 96, and we're getting there. Tonight, low 67. Man, those cool nights at 50 feel so good. It's great. Tomorrow, it's going to be hot and breezy with winds from out of the south, 10 to 22, with gusts up to 35 and 40 miles an hour. So get ready for tomorrow. And then Sunday, we have a 30% chance of thunderstorms, high around 87. Sunday night is when we get a chance, big chance of rain, 50% chance of thunderstorms Sunday night with northwest winds 16 to 25 miles an hour. Monday, looks like highs 81, sunny. Tuesday, this is where it starts. It'll be 82 with winds out of the south at 15 to 20 miles an hour. We got a 30% chance of rain. And Tuesday night is when it's going to hit. And I'll keep you guys updated. And Lacey will be on the show at noon Tuesday, so she can update us for Tuesday night. Well, wholesale beef prices have fallen 18% since the pre-Labor Day peak on August 23rd. The decline in the value of the middle meats has the largest impact on the price decline. Half of the decline in the value of choice beef cut out since August has been due to a decline in the value of the middle meats. The rib primal during this period has declined $72.30 per CWT, or 12.1%, with much of this decline taking place in the last few weeks. Further, the loin primal has declined $100.80 per CWT, or 22% during this period, contributing more than one-third of the overall drop in wholesale beef prices. It is not unusual for loin primal values to decline after Labor Day, and this year has been no different. For now, the loin primal is largely tracking with 2020 and 2019 at a higher price point. Analysts are debating the value of choice cutout come late October and November. The question is whether the spike in retail and food service prices significantly impacted the quality demanded, causing spot supplies to start to back up and forcing packers to discount prices. So far, the evidence for is quite modest. It appears that packers indeed have more product available to sell spot, hence the softer wholesale trend. USDA reported packers sold 400 loads of choice beef in the spot market last week. This is compared to 393 loads last year and 288 in 2019, and it was the highest number of spot loads for this time of the year since 2015. The spot supply of ground beef and trim remains limited, suggesting that end users may have shifted to least expensive products after Labor Day, but the increase in spot availability may prove to be limited. I know what's happening. People are starting to buy beef local, and they don't report that, so they've lost it. Because everybody's doing a good job buying local beef and getting it processed local. Sorry, I'm harping on that. USDA reported that during the 4 August weeks, packers sold an average of 724 loads per week for delivery 22 to 60 days out. This was far lower than the 1,120 loads per week sold during this period in 2020 and 993 loads in August of 2019. Clearly, retailers slowed down forward buying in August, which means fewer features in September and October and more product availability in the spot market. That's what we are seeing now. But forward buying has picked up in the last few weeks, he said. In the 4 weeks ending October 1, beef sales for delivery 22 to 60 days out averaged 1,025 loads per week, far higher than in August. This volume was under the 1,085 loads per week last year, but higher than the 2018 and 2019 loads per week. If there is one thing we have seen this year, and production bottlenecks have served to amplify the effect of seasonal demand. This was the case in May and then in August. It would be not unreasonable to expect the roller coaster to continue in the year-end's holidays. So anyway, I got a reply to, he's already replied. Hang on here a second. Let me see what he's got to say. What's going on here? There we go. Anyway, Major, you talked about the Packer consolidation and the fact that NCBA also represent Packers is the reason for the RCAF and Independent Stock Growers Associations that's popped up. I'm not going to disagree or agree with you on that, but I am going to tell you that the NCBA, their main purpose is to promote beef. Well, it starts with the producer, and it ends with the processor, because those guys sell beef and we produce it out here. So beef, it's what's for dinner. And I'm not taking sides here, but I'm just letting you know, whether they represent Packers or not is one thing. But the one thing about it is the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, their job is to promote beef. So that's what the, you know, process Packers need promotion too. But anyway, and I don't have anything in concrete go with one way or the other, but this bottom line is to promote beef, and our Packers, and they need that promoted too, whether they do it or not. But anyway, I just wanted to get with you on that. Well, here comes some big words out of OSU Stillwater. Oklahoma State University scientists have developed a screening tool for anaplasmosis. I hope I said that right. In livestock, which, oh, my boss is watching me now. Hey, that's a big word for me to say right here, boss. Anyway, which has potential to save producers a lot of time and a lot of money. The current industry standard for anaplasmosis, knows how I slowed that down, detection in cattle, sheep, and goats is the CLESA, a diagnostic tool that tells producers their livestock are infected with a disease. However, the test does not specifically indicate anaplasmosis, a bacterial disease transmitted through tick bites. And here we go with ticks again, but I'm not going to go like I did when I was a couple weeks ago down south. These tests cost $10 to $15 per blood sample due to extensive process involving sending samples to a certified diagnosis laboratory. For most producers, it's just a way too much money to test for this disease. So many of them end up losing 10 to 15% of their herd to it because they can't afford to test them. You can't afford to lose 10 or 15% of your herd either. Bruce Noden, associate professor and medical veterinarian at the OSU Department of Pathology, he said, according to this, what he and his colleagues have developed is a test strip, much like a pregnancy test, that is intended to act as pre-screening tool for anaplasmosis. The point is to have a field test that a veterinarian can just drop a blood sample into and see if there are cases going on in the herd. A producer uses this for screening, and if a sample is positive, they can send it off for confirmation. So rather than having your test your old herd, you only have to test 2 to 3 cows. The whole point is trying to reduce the cost. Noten and Francisco Corona. See, I could say Corona because I drink those. Anyway, he's a professor at pathology and a diagnosis specialist said their screening process has been successful in showing livestock to be positive or negative for anaplasmosis, specifically in the serum samples. The ELISA test detects a protein, but Noden and Corona screening processes identifies the actual DNA of the anaplasmosis pathogen. This unique thing about this tool that is specific as the chain reaction in detecting DNA without all the equipment, time, or trained personnel needed to determine if a cow is positive for anaplasmosis. The cool thing about this test, he said, is the thing can test for actual species and it's more specific to how a veterinarian should care for the animals. This test can also differentiate between species of all those things. The research on the new screening was published in the Nature Scientific Reports in August, and the researchers submitted a patent for the screening test last year. Their second piece of OSU Ag research, which highlights the method of success rate of screening process, is being reviewed and will be published within the next few months. That's a good thing. Anytime you can make a veterinarian jobs easier, especially at point of care, this allows them to make decisions that help their producer and helps them bring their costs down and make for a healthy herd, healthy beef, and the whole nine yards. So anyway, you guys have a great weekend. Remember, Texas OU tomorrow, free pizza over at the Sayre Country Club. And come on over. And next Saturday, they're having a FFA Ag Boosters golf tournament over there, too. And if anybody else has got out anything else going on out there in my listening area, just text me in and I'll talk about it on the radio. Have a great day and God bless.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is KECO Elk City.
An optimistic tone from the president on Lisa Brady, Fox News. He is offering encouragement after a disappointing jobs report, but not taking questions. Fox's Jessica Rosenthal has more live.
Lisa, 194,000 jobs were added in September, far fewer than analysts had expected. But today, President Biden said it was still progress.
For the first time since March of 2020, the American unemployment rate is below 5%.
But that's partly due to people leaving the workforce. The labor force participation rate dropped slightly. The president noted the data was gathered in mid-September.
When COVID cases were averaging more than 150,000 per day.
While the private sector added 317,000 jobs, government employment fell by 123,000 jobs, mostly in the education sector, Lisa.
Jessica, Republicans say it's evidence the president's economic agenda is not working. Nearly 140 countries just announcing a tentative deal for a global minimum corporate tax rate of 15%, something President Biden has pushed for, aimed at preventing big multinational companies from avoiding taxes by stashing profits offshore. A judge in Oregon refuses to block a COVID vaccine mandate for state troopers.
33 troopers sued over the mandate to be fully vaccinated by October 18th. The judge rules that Oregon Governor Kate Brown is acting within her authority.